Hey.
Yo, I got to tell you something, man.
What is it?
I am so excited about this.
Go ahead.
And I don't know anything about this company. I don't know anything about what, you know. All I know is it's working for my kids, and it's got my kids off of video games, and it's got me playing the shit, too. And it's really, it's a lot of fun and everything. It's called Gravitrax. Have you heard of it?
I saw it on Casey's Instagram, and explain it to people who don't know what it is, but I saw what Rocco built, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, okay, so Gravitrax is like a marble racing obstacle course slash... It reminds me of
old school Hot Wheels tracks.
Kind of like that also, but also like Lego also, because you have to build, and it shows you pictures of things you need to make the obstacle course and everything work. It's really awesome. And the accessories that come with it, you know, are very creative also. There's like elevators and, you know, trampolines and catapults and, you know, slingshot, like crazy things, like loop-de-loops. Right. Like crazy things.
And you get into it with your son, so you're like, you don't feel like you're playing something that's, you know, it's cool because you're as interested as he is, so you're actually playing with your kid something that's fun for you both.
All right, when I was a kid, Times Square has this place called Port Authority. It's where all the buses come into New York City, right? Mm. And growing up, that place was like a freaking scary ass, you know, dirty, you know.
Yeah.
They made a television show about the neighborhood I grew up in. And it's about pimps and prostitutes and crackheads and, you know, the beauty of 42nd Street and where all the movie theaters were, right? They made a television show about it. Anyway, Port Authority had this thing, and it had like a bunch of balls from, you know, from the pool table. So like from one all the way to, was it 12 balls, right? And they had a bunch of them, and they created something very similar to what Gravitrax is doing. And it would, but this thing made like music. And I remember as a kid, people used to surround this thing because it was like this clever contraption of, you know, winding, you know, if anybody out there remembers Sesame Street, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Right. That. Remember how the cartoon went where it was like a pinball machine, but then when you hit the ball, it went inside one of the holes, and then now the ball's on a track
and it's rolling
all around. That's what Gravitrax is, man.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
We have so much fun with it. The kids have been doing it for 2 days straight without being on a television screen, it's just them and their mind and their imagination. And
that's awesome.
I just want to give a shout out to them and say...
Yeah.
Yo, thank you so much for saving Christmas for us.
I'm sure lots of parents are looking for any way to have their kids be fascinated by something other than video games.
Absolutely. Or television, you know? It makes kids have to use their brain. There's a lot of math involved. You know, it's very specific in how things work. And then you have to be creative with what you're given in that realm. It's really awesome.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, everybody check that out.
Very cool.
We got to talk about Wonder Woman because I really am confused about Wonder Woman. I don't know what the hell was going on.
And it was not good.
I know I'm speaking to three fans of superhero movies. I don't ever like to diss anyone involved in creative endeavors because it is so fucking hard to make anything. And thousands of people worked on this movie and there's so much talent. The actors are all amazing. I know the director is amazing. I just want to know from three people who like these sort of things what that was.
What a great question, Zach.
Joel, you go first, man. You seem to want to talk about it.
I feel like this is the branded direction DC has chosen to go in, where they don't mind making these sort of like big, heavy camp films, but they're not for me, but their audience really likes them.
Who are they for? Because I was watching it going, is a kid going to get any of this?
No, I don't think it's for children. It's for adults, specifically guys, I think, who are really into like old school comics, which didn't always have to make sense. Like the basis of reality, or even have like strong structure. Now there's a lot of great like classic comic books, but there's also, there was a genre of comics specifically, if we're looking at late 80s, early 90s, where like the physics were off and the body mechanics were way off, and there's like no sense of reality, and there's no sort of tie to like, oh, we need a great American hero. And it's not even, you know, 60s cheesiness. It was just like wild, extreme, like pumped up 90s kind of stuff. And those fans have really clung to like that ideal of superheroism. That's like what they really enjoy. And so, you know, you don't need a motivational reason for the Cheetah Lady to happen. She just happens, and it's totally fine. It's not for me. I think there's like, especially disappointing that Wonder Woman doesn't get to be the center character in her own movie. It's a little disappointing. I really like Wonder Woman. There's a lot of great source material for her, and for me, it doesn't do the character justice. But I also don't want to take anything away from DC fans. I'm a true believer that, like, if you like a thing, you know,
now, that's have DC your vibe. Fans, do DC fans like this movie? I haven't searched the internet to know if it's well received or not. I don't even know if critics liked it. I didn't even look to see if critics liked it.
It was critically panned. And it seems to me that while some DC fans were like, no, this is a solid superhero movie, it's certainly not getting the praise of like a Justice League or the call for a, you know, a Zack Snyder cut or anything like that. So I think it's sort of middling.
I have a real problem. Listen, we were really excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
We were really excited.
Because I love all those actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and great cast.
Great cast. And the first 3 minutes of the movie with the little girl is the best part of the movie to me. Where she is in the race, and at the last minute, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm going to shut up. But she's in the race. And that was the best part of the movie. And then the minute, this is where I was like, I think we're in trouble. Now, I'm not hating on this movie. I don't want to hate on this movie. But this is where I was like, oh, we're in trouble. When Wonder Woman turned back around and winked at the little girl, I was like, oh, uh-oh.
Oh, that early? Okay.
Oh, no. And what did it for me, because my wife is a great judge of what, you know, what's to come. Like, she figured out the usual suspect before, you know, the minute the movie started, she was like, oh, that's Kaiser Soze, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. She said, uh-oh. These are her exact words. She went like this. She went, uh-oh. And I was like, what? And she was like, if the rest of the movie is like this, we got a problem. What was with all the slow-mo?
Heroic?
I don't know. I have to say, I don't understand how she could fly. I mean,
She's always been able to do that. Hold on. Now let's. If you want to go,
someone told me on Twitter that she was lassoing the lightning. I didn't know. I didn't put that together.
I've never seen her do that before. But Wonder Woman has always been able to fly. What was weird was, why does she have the invisible jet? Because she can fly. That was always the argument. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of the invisible jet if you can fly? But so as far as that goes, her powers and everything like that are top notch. And they're
dynamite,
and
they're doing, powers.
But they're doing it justice, man. Like, that's the truth. She's supposed to be, if Superman is the male version of what is the most powerful, Wonder Woman is the female version of what is the most powerful. You know what I mean? Like, they're supposed to be the titans that protect Earth. You know what I mean? And that is apparent in this movie. Like, it's clear. If you are a mere mortal on this planet and you go against her and you go against Diana, you're going to get your ass kicked.
On the other side of things, we all loved Soul, right? Soul was incredible.
You didn't like Soul, Joelle?
I have so many feelings about Soul. It's a beautiful film. I cried at the end. I think structurally it's very sound. I sort of wish, in the way that Coco got to experience an afterlife that is authentic to a culture, I wish Soul had provided us with an afterlife authentic to Black culture. But performances outstanding. I really, really did enjoy just watching the film.
The animation was stunning, I thought.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I mean, the art. I saw someone comment on Twitter, and one of them, like, the body types, and it wasn't just African-Americans being the star of the show, but the way that the artists drew different body types and facial types and shapes and sizes, the way they drew his barber. I mean, I just loved, I loved this, the art of it. I thought was magical. Yeah.
I loved Soul for a lot of reasons, but mostly for, like, there's something special about an artist when they can inspire you. And usually when an artist does that, they win Academy Awards and stuff like that. And Jamie Foxx is one of those artists. When he gets it right, when the movie is right, and when he's in that zone, he really can inspire you. You know what I mean? Like, he really, his talent is top notch when the cards are in his favor and he's playing that hand. You know what I mean? Like, and this is one of the, this Ray is one of those, but this one also, it's like you listen to him and you're like, holy cow, I need to be a voice actor. I think if I focus really hard, I could be a voice actor. Oh my, you know what I mean? He just makes it seem like you can do it too. And it's a gift that you have. I once told him that, and I think it came off kind of wrong. And he was like, well, I was like, dude, man, you make people feel like they can win Oscars. He was like, well, shit, motherfucker, go get you one then. And I was like.
That's was funny, like, though. I think he was laughing with you, not at you.
I was like, oh, all right, my bad. But, yo, anyway, the point is, he's just amazing in this role. And when it comes to music, it really does, you know, he really does shine, whether he's talking it or singing it or, you know, it there's just something special about him when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie, I think, and everyone should see it, even if you're not, I thought it was just artful. And Pixar, man, do they have it down. Yeah. It's just almost every single time, flawless.
Daniel, you didn't see that one either, did you?
Didn't see it yet.
Daniel was building computers. I wanted to talk about all the pictures of those of you who bought onesies. Donald and I are both loving all the pictures you're posting. It brings a giant smile to our face. We love that you love this podcast. I just be sentimental for 1 second before Donald counts us in. You know, the amount of love that you shower upon the four of us on social media, and it really means a lot. And I saw so much varying from silliness and someone in a onesie eagling their husband to someone saying, this show probably saved my life, no joking around, this year. And I just want you to know that we hear it and we love you, and we did not think we'd make this much of a difference, but it means so much to all of us when we see your reaction.
Hear, hear.
Amen.
And so we're going to keep entertaining you, because that's what we're here to do, is hopefully put a smile on your face. Right, Donald?
Absolutely. All right. I second that.
All right. Well, let's why don't we rewatch an episode of Scrubs and discuss it?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs rewatch show with Zach and Donald.
Yeah, so do you have your recap ready?
I do have my recap ready. How did you feel about this episode?
I thought it was very silly. It was very short. It felt shorter than normal.
Here's something I don't understand. How do you make an episode that really is only funny if you smoke a lot of weed about this is your brain on drugs? How do you make, you know what I mean? Like, this show has so many, like, if you're stoned and you're watching this is a very, very funny episode. Like,
very silly.
Like the type of episode where you go out your nose because you laugh so hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I felt like since you asked me, it's like the writers were, I can tell when the room and when the vibe of the writer's room was particularly stonery and silly that week.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the main plots of this episode.
But it's a brain on drugs episode, though.
The B story is essentially that the janitor.
Wait, let me get into the recap.
Okay. But I mean, it's definitely a.
Dude, it's one of the funniest things.
If you had a stoner friend who wasn't into Scrubs, I suppose you'd probably start with Wizard of Oz with a musical, but this might be one to show them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Here we go. All right. Hold on. Stopwatch and go.
JD and Carla have really bonded over the last few years. Turk's sick of being nagged over his butt-watching habits. Mm. Elliot and Cox think differently of a patient. And the janitor is maybe the most desperate we've ever seen him. What are the limits to fidelity? When does it become infidelity?
Mm.
That's not up for anyone to decide but you. My personal belief, if you need to lie for whatever reason, you're probably doing more harm to the situation than helping. Communication is always key.
Amen on communication being always key, but Turk can't be looking at fucking all these asses.
Why
all
not?
The time.
Why not? Why not? Why not?
If his wife says and means it and isn't bullshitting, if she says, honey, honestly, you're a man and I don't find it disrespectful and I'm going to look at that ass too. She's got a great ass. Whatever their rules are, and it's honest, she's not just putting it on
to be cool
wife.
And there's communication.
Okay, I'm just saying if it's real, if it's not just like she's like, oh, I don't want to be like uptight. I'm going to pretend like I'm okay with it, but really I'm crying inside. I mean, Turk is like, when she says go, he turns and he just looks at the ass like this.
I feel like Turk and Carla might be open for a little, we talked about it before. You know, JD kind of thinks it's possible. I think they're open to a little, intermarital.
I don't think so. First of all, you don't think so? First of all, she goes on a date. This was so weird. Like, she goes on a date and JD doesn't tell Turk.
But Turk doesn't give a shit either.
Yes, he would have.
But he doesn't in the show.
I forgot. I brain farted on what your reaction was when she finally
the
told
the reaction me. That they give is not a reaction. They give JD's fantasy of what's going to happen.
Right. So do you ever see what really happens? Oh my God. No. How funny. By the way,
you'd be this age right now.
Sorry to yell. I said this. I just blew you out. Sorry. I said the same thing, dude. First of all, the funniest part of the show, in my mind, is me as an old man still living with you and farting. And then I did the math, and I'm like, that's me at 45.
Right.
That's how how trippy is that to see yourself? I mean, this is an experience most people on Earth will never have. Seeing how you as a 25-year-old portrayed yourself at 45 and then going back at 45 and watching it. I was old and bald and fat and farting. Yeah,
and farting.
And still
farting.
Living with my friends.
And very, very Jewish. And very,
yes,
very,
extra
very
Jewy.
Jewish.
Extra Jewy. Sorry. Because I've got nowhere else to go. I was like a fucking Seinfeld character. Oh, my God. I was very funny, though.
Dude, it was
I
very
wish we
funny.
Saw
I
more of that
hard.
Character. I wanted
that
to see more of him.
That would have been great.
There are certain things I wish I had more of. I wish Turk's mole puppet was a running gag, and I certainly wish 45 but really 75-year-old extra Jewy Zach was a character.
I mean, extra Jewy JD.
Extra Jewy JD. Well, they overlap.
All right.
JD's nipples name is Jasper. I laughed at that. JD loves to show his nipples.
Right, your right nipple's name is Jasper.
Yes.
That, and you have one hair named Clancy, so there's Jasper yes. and Clancy.
Well, the hair is named Clancy, and we don't get the left nipple's name. I think it's my left that's Jasper.
Yeah, it's your left that's Jasper.
I'm sure it's on Scrubs Wiki.
You're right. No, you're right.
But anyway, first of all, in the spirit of sexual harassment at the workplace, I mean, JD and Turk are just like really not being subtle at all, ogling this woman's tush.
Yes, they are.
And
I got to ask you a question. Okay,
it's funny, even in 2002 or 3, whenever we're making, must have been 3, we seem to not be playing character. Well, we seem to not be playing characters that were toning it down or I don't know. It just seemed out of place. It was bizarre.
I got to ask you, though, are you a ass man or a breast man?
Ass man times 10.
Okay, so when we first met, though, dude, you were a breast man. You were all about tiny waist and big breasts, dude. When we first met, that was your thing.
You're thinking of another friend.
That was you, dude. You were like, it has to be. I was like, well, what about the big ass? You were like, it has to be so tiny.
No.
That ass has to be like a tiny, tiny thing.
Maybe.
I remember this. Maybe, oh, my God. We're going to fight. I don't mean to yell. We're going to fight. We're going to fight.
Maybe your appreciation.
We're going to fight.
I'm not saying that your appreciation for giant, tushes.
I don't like
didn't
giant.
Rub off on me a little bit.
I don't like fake. I like giant. I don't like fake.
We both have something in common that we like the real real.
I like the real real.
Yeah. I definitely didn't know that ass implants were a thing until recently. I thought that was a joke.
It looks weird, man. You got this big, like, hump on your back, but and then, like, these real tiny legs. Like, if it don't match the, if the hamstring don't match the booty, what you really doing? What you really doing?
I mean, you know what I mean? To each their own.
What you really doing?
But if you're listening right now and you're on the fence about whether to get the ass implants, Donald and I are begging you not to.
Unless you got no ass. If you got no ass,
no,
and you can
then do squats. Don't fucking put silicone in your tush.
Sometimes squats. Well, okay, Daniel. Sometimes squats don't help though.
Well, I'm just. I mean, to each their own. Again, if you're sitting there on a cushy ass implant, then mazel tov. I'm just saying. I personally would rather you did squats.
Joelle just over there sipping on her tea.
By the way, someone wrote something so funny on Twitter. They said, RIP to Joelle's search history after last week's episode where we made her search for the amount of sperm that are in each.
Surprisingly,
dose.
No penis pill ads yet, though.
Oh,
so
you'll get them, Joelle. Just you wait. Well, you were doing a service for the Earth's people.
For Earth.
You're welcome.
Planet Earth.
You're welcome. Isn't it funny when you not funny, but when you like you Google something and then you're on some other website and ads for that thing come up and you're like, What the fuck? I just looked for 2 seconds. I don't care. And it doesn't even have to be like pornographic. It's like, I'm not that interested in iron shelving. I looked once.
Yeah, I looked at a knife online, like a cooking knife, because you guys know I'm so into cooking.
Right.
A chopping knife. And I looked into it because it's like one of those big ones that you see on the Food Network and stuff.
Yeah, the thick one.
Yeah. It won't stop showing up. It just keeps showing up on my phone. Yeah. In every ad on any site that I go to, YouTube, freaking Facebook, Twitter. Well, Twitter doesn't have ads, but Instagram, it shows up.
Yeah, they got you. Zuckerberg's got you. All right. Now, the janitor's whole storyline is a big storyline. Is that he has a twin brother named Roscoe, and he's committed to tricking JD and Turk that he – I mean, does this guy have any work to do? He spends the entire time – trying to convince us that he has a twin brother.
But and he goes through like outrageous feats to prove his theory.
He enlists Troy.
Right. He enlists Troy. He jumps out of a window, a one-story window. He jumps from the second story to the top of the first story roof.
And then onto an ambulance.
And then falls off the ambulance.
Because the ambulance gets a call. Right. So they speed off. He falls onto the ground. I mean, this guy really, 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 really was committed to tricking
him. He made a video.
Yes, with Troy.
For the birthday
For their twin birthday party. This episode was so silly. I mean,
and he goes, take your time to look at this. And runs around.
Yeah, and then the other hand comes in and it's got nail polish on the other hand.
But then when he walks in, he goes, walk in slowly.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the woman's name on his brain trust? Do you remember her?
Mm.
It must have been her.
Crazy Eyed Margo.
Crazy Eyed Margo. It must have been her hand. Crazy Eyed Margo. Nice from memory.
It's that brain pill.
Someone wrote on Instagram or Twitter about you. It was funny. They said, there's definitely a Goldilocks sweet spot for how high Donald should be. Sometimes it's too little. Sometimes it's too much.
Right. Sometimes I get too far gone.
Yeah,
there are times where I'm like, holy shit, I was high in that episode.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes where I was like, I probably should have smoked weed in that episode.
Yeah. I just love that someone compared you to Goldilocks. You're like, that's that porridge. That weed is not enough. That weed is too much. That weed is just right.
That's right.
Why don't we go to a break, right, Joelle? We're going to go break, and when we come right back, we're going to talk about Firm Like Mutton, the second time that an ass has been compared to mutton in Scrubs. We'll be right back.
And we're back!
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
Okay, all right. I have a question. Why? First of all, why that? Why? Why?
I don't know. It came to my mind when you did that noise.
Okay. Second of second of all, I thought Elliot had gotten past this look. I thought we were moving past this look at this point, weren't we?
No, she does this rocker hair for, like, I think the whole season.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think season three was Elliot rocker hair.
Okay, the whole season.
Yeah, I'm sad about it, too.
And the whole season, and then, and season three ends with us getting, with Carla and Turk getting married, right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, Joelle says yes. I can look. I have it in front of me here. Well, Joelle, you're looking. Yes, I'm looking right here. Do you want to know what's coming up?
Yeah.
We have, we have his story. I think this must be when you narrate.
Oh, shucks. It's either me or John C. McGinley.
No, it says you. Turk has hesitations about whether or not to mail his wedding invitations.
Oh, shit!
Yep, and then we have Scott Foley coming back. We haven't booked him on the episode, but
Connecticut's favorite Scott Foley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we have Richard Kind's episode, and it ends with
Yaba.
It ends with Carla and Turk getting married. With George Takei as the priest.
Somebody's gonna ask you. That's just that line alone in that song. I don't even know the song, but just that line alone. Classic.
So the sixth member of the cast of Spin City joins us, Alexander Chaplin. Now, we call him Sandy. I've known Sandy forever. We went to theater camp together, which sounds like a joke from Scrubs, but is true. We went to a theater camp called Stage Door Manor together. And
he is related too. Say it. Tell it. There's a reason why his name is Chapman.
No. Chaplin. He's not related to Chaplin.
Yeah, he is.
His father-in-law is Hal Prince, the most celebrated theater director of all time.
I was under the impression that Sandy was related to Charlie Chaplin.
No, you can
Let's look this
that.
Up.
I would know that. I would
Let's
know that.
Let's look this up.
But his father-in-law.
Somebody, you know who told me this? David Allen Bache told me this. So I'm going to put David Allen Bache on.
I don't think so. I feel like I would know that tidbit about him because I know him and he's a very, very sweet man and a wonderful actor. And do you know what film he was in that was really where his acting was really incredible? Wish I Was Here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that, Donald?
He's in that?
He plays the young rabbi. Do you remember that, Donald?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He catches me smoking weed in the car. Yeah, that's right. And the plant, and something about the plant, right?
He is a great actor. I think very,
he's
very.
He's an amazing actor.
I think he's very underused. I mean, the guy should have his own show. This moment where he explodes on Elliot over trying to get pain medication out of her, I mean, it was just like a quick little three-sentence monologue, and he fucking killed it. He's so talented.
Yeah. He's very talented. And very funny also.
He's very funny. He can also has a beautiful voice. I love this man. I wish that I saw him more. We gotta if you're out there and you're a casting director, you gotta book Alexander Chaplin because he is a talented fellow.
Yeah, he is. Just give me a second. I'm still looking for
I think
this.
Joelle is doing the work for you.
Yeah, they're not related. And it doesn't even look like that maybe his original last name. It says that he adopted it when Daisy got married, according to their Wikipedia page.
Yeah, they do maybe talk about Stage Door Manor, though, Zach.
Yeah. Does it say that his father-in-law is Hal Prince?
It does.
There you go.
Wow. He is he's one of those people where you're like, dude, he should be working way more.
I agree. Than he's working Listen, right this now. Is why I tell people, and not that, and Sandy's had a great career. He's been on Spin City. He's been on lots of shows. He's a working actor. But I do have to say, when people talk about becoming actors, I go, there are people like Sandy / Alexander Chaplin that are so good and handsome, and you're like, well, why is this guy not a household name? I mean, it's humbling. Because you go, that's why I always talk about it all being a lottery. Like the fact that that guy never had his own show or has yet to have his own show, I just can't believe it because he can do everything. And he's charming. And anyway, I cast him. I'll continue to cast him.
It's crazy how that is though, because you meet a lot of those people in Hollywood as you go through as you climb the ranks and as you fall down the ranks, you know what I mean? As you fall, you meet a lot of the same type of people who are running the same type of race that you are, man. This thing really is like, I remember when I lived in New York, we used to look at this thing, look at the acting game as the trenches, because like your best friend all of a sudden is your enemy the minute you walk into an audition space, because you're all competing for a job. And you're absolutely right. He's one of those people that you watch and you're like, wow, even as an actor, when you look at them, you're like, this person, there's something's wrong if this person's not doing it.
Right. And it's like, why? I mean, other than just the lottery of the way the chips fall, I don't know, see why. I mean, Donald and I both can name privately actors that are hugely successful and totally cut together in the edit room, and they owe their career to an editor and a director. And then there's people like Sandy Chaplin, who I directed him in Wish I Was Here. There's not a single take he did I couldn't use in the film.
Him yelling at Elliot is also just on him. It never cuts to her reaction until after he's done. So yeah. you see him smiling, and then the ramp and the. Yeah. And the
And then he quickly turns a joke.
And then, right.
He comes back. I think he recurs a few times. Bill loves him too.
Same character. Yeah.
Bill loves him too. So, all right. There's our monologue about how much we love Alexander Chaplin. And, shameless plug. If you still haven't seen Wish I Was Here, please check it out. And he's really good in that. I play a guy who's so not into his religion. He's secular and was raised Orthodox. And he befriends this younger rabbi who sort of, shows him that there's a way to be religious without being the religious ways his parents were. And so he finds his own unique way to connect to spirituality. He's sort of the rabbi I always wished I'd met. I wish I'd met a rabbi who'd taught me a way to be spiritual without the strict dogma that I was sort of had forced upon me as a child.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
And this is hypothetical, and so I don't want to just change. Because I think everybody did a great job in Wish I Was Here and everything like that. But if Natalie Portman would have played your wife in that movie, would you have made it the sequel to Garden State?
No. I don't think so. I see how they are. They're sort of cousins of each other, but. I think I didn't want to go anywhere near Garden State. I mean, obviously, it's coming out of my brain, and in this case, in Wish I Was Here's case, my brother Adam as well. But so they're all gonna, have a piece of me in it. In fact, the new script, it's funny. Someone I know and love and trust read it, and I said, "This is the first thing I've written that really isn't about me." And they read it and laughed. They said, "You think this isn't about you?" Meaning, it's not about a struggling artist, a guy from Jersey, but it is so much of who I am. In it. I think that that's just, that's what comes out of me when I write. I see how they're cousins of each other, but I didn't see Kate's character having anything to do with Natalie's character.
Would you ever consider revisiting that?
I'd love to work with Natalie again. I don't want to do I've had so many opportunities to do incarnations of Garden State. I just kind of want to leave it.
Would you ever want to put this cast back together? This is what I don't understand. And some directors do it, and then other directors don't do it, and I don't understand that. And sometimes it really upsets me because you meet certain directors and you're like, I want to work with this person forever, and then you never work with that person again.
Yeah.
But Scorsese's one of those people where if he loves you, you're in everything he's going to do. Same thing with Oliver Stone. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't understand why people don't take something that was successful, like Garden State, and bring the entire cast back together, same writer, same director, same everything, and create something different. If it all worked the first time, why would it be different the second time?
That's a great point, but you'd have to write something that would be perfect for all those people again,
But you already kind of know what it is because you did it the first time. No. All right. If I just stick to the blueprint says this is going to work. This is something that rappers do all the time. All right. The blueprint says this is going to work. This is something that artists do all the time. Mm. The blueprint says this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And it does pretty much every time. Pretty much every time, if a pop
Maybe in the rap world, but not in the film world.
It works in movies too.
There's plenty of people trying to recreate the magic. Look at the whole world of sequels. I mean, how many sequels are good?
You're absolutely right when it comes to sequels. But the same
sequel is just exactly the sequel is exactly what you're saying.
Well, no, not really, because When it's the sequel, you want something different. That's the only thing. That's the difference between the sequel and what the formula is. The formula works every time. The sequel can't be the formula again. That's the rule, man. It can't be, all right, I made Star Wars, so the next one has to be Star Wars again. They made Star Wars, and the next one was Empire Strikes Back, and that's why the sequel works.
This is the challenge, though, and here's how I'll address it in the way that what I experienced is it took me a long time to make another film after Garden State, and when I didn't – you know, it's the classic sophomore effort, and I think artists of all types feel this, is I of course I want the audience to come back for what they loved – but I don't want to repeat myself. You know, it's the any musician with their sophomore album would say the same thing. I want everyone to come back into the tent, but I don't want everyone to think I'm just biting myself. So you're trying to say, here's something in the spirit of what you liked, but I'm also going to tiptoe us over here. Now, that'll either work or it won't. Sometimes they won't like the tiptoe and they'll be like, where the fuck? Like, for example, Wish I Was Here doesn't really have a love story. You know, it's a couple that loves each other and they're going through a tough time and there's a chance they might break up, but at the center of it isn't a love story.
Right.
So people that so related to a love story were like, oh, it's a Zach Braff movie and it's got a vibe and it's got music and it's got great actors I love. And then when they saw that there was no will they or won't they love story, I think I suspect we're disappointed by that. So it's always a challenge to go, I pray you all come back into the tent, but I also want to kind of do something different together.
Right, no doubt. No, I totally understand what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. But that makes me wonder then, Scorsese has figured out his formula, it seems like.
Yeah.
He makes really good, gritty movies, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
But Scorsese always delivers. You're going to see criminal activity, you're going to see amazing cinematography, you're always going to see the top actors in the world. Robert Rodriguez is
another one that's done that, is my point. There are like a handful of directors that have done that. Tarantino. You know what you're going to see when you see a Tarantino movie.
Yeah. And Tarantino's done it in a genius way that even more than anyone, that they are so specifically Tarantino films, but they're all over the place in what they're about.
So then what's wrong with you doing that? What's wrong with you doing
it? I'm not nearly as good a writer or as prolific a writer, but
Zach, Garden State is fucking fire, dude. Regardless of what you want to say. And regardless of what you want to say about Wish I Was Here, that's fire, dude. It's a great story. You know what I mean? And it touches something that you don't see in a lot of movies. You don't see a lot of people digging deep into that.
Thank you. I think what I do, that is what I write, probably has a smaller audience.
But it can grow.
But that's fine.
It can grow. But that's fine.
I don't need to be U2, the band that came to my mind first. I can be a smaller act at a smaller venue. But there clearly is an audience for it. But I'm content not being as hugely successful as Tarantino.
My point is not just for you. This is for everybody. It's all right to do what you do. There's nothing wrong with doing what you do. Nobody does you better than you.
Yeah, I agree.
For no matter what your
no matter what your art is, I believe that. And also, what comes out of you at the time is the art that you have to contribute to the world. I always go back to Justin from Bon Iver saying to me, it was about, I think I told the story on the show, that he said, I tried to give him a note on the song for Wish I Was Here, and he said, that's what came out of me when I saw the film. And so I don't apologize at all for the stuff I make, whether sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, because it's what came out of me at the time. It's what I had to say, and hopefully some people liked it.
Right.
That's
very difficult, dude, to be on that page, because then that goes against everything that I was just talking about, where the formula always works. If you're on that, this is what I expressed at that moment. That's the only thing
I can do, I think. I don't know how to – I have yet to know how to write something that's not like a – in order for me to get in a chair and spend that much time and commitment, I need to tap into like – what I feel as a human being. I've yet to be able to be like, oh my God, I have a great submarine movie idea. And it's not to say It's not to say that I don't have an occasional good submarine movie idea, but I wouldn't have the commitment to sit down and put the time in to do it. In order for me to fucking do the thing that we writers do, which is stare at the blinking cursor alone, wishing you were doing anything else, I need to feel like it's coming out of my fucking body.
That's your formula.
Yeah, my formula is to tap into my own psyche and my own the things that make me joyous and the things that make me depressed and craft.
Well,
a story
it shows in your movies, man. Because after walking out of Wish I Was Here, I think everybody was like, "Fuck, I'm depressed, dude."
Oh, come on, it's not that bad. There's hope at the end. There's hope at the end.
There's very little. That shit. That family is so fucked, man. Oh
no,
my god.
Not at the end. They're happy.
Yeah, well, they're happy because they freaking the bully died. You know what I
mean? Well, no, and no spoilers, but he definitely begins a new chapter of his life, and he seems like he's content.
In the very end. I love the movie, dude. I'm just telling you, man. That family is and what's crazy about it is that's the truth, though. That was a truth, and it's not a wrap this up with a big Hollywood bow.
Well, I don't want to make that shit. There's plenty of people making that shit. Right. I want to make the real. I want to make, you know, you and your wife can have an all-out fucking battle. And yeah, you love each other. And yeah, you will do anything for each other. But in the back of your mind, you're like, is this going to fucking last forever? Like, I don't know. I want to make that movie. I don't want to make the I lift her up and we hug on the beach bullshit. There's plenty of people doing that.
That feels good, though, too. Keep it 100.
Yeah, but there's plenty of people doing that. There's plenty of people. I'd rather tell an honest story about a couple that hopes they're going to make it.
Yeah, that's the truth, because that is the truth, man. That's what really, you know, when you walk out of Wish I Was Here, and I'm fucking totally, you know, I totally sound like your best friend who's so totally proud of you, but it's like when you walk out of that movie, regardless of who you are, where you are, or what you're doing, if you don't feel like shit, damn man, I'm happy I'm not that right now.
Yeah.
I'm not them right now.
I just want to make, I just aspire to, I aspire to make you watch something that makes you talk about it. Like, you know, when you go see a movie and then by the time you get to your car, you're like, should we get dessert? Like, I mean, in normal times, it's gone. It's gone. Like you had cotton candy.
Right. I'd rather be like, yo, you remember the part?
Yeah, of course.
Such,
be like, by the way, even if you're like, I fucking hated the way he wrote that one character. Like, even, right. I just want your passion.
I love that. Yeah,
fine.
That's great.
By the way, I'm fine to be polarizing. I want your passion.
Right. That's what's up.
Should we talk about Scrubs?
We should.
Joelle, why don't we invite the guest after a break? We'll be right back after these fine words. And we're back.
And we're back.
Gurgle.
Okay. Where are we going when we see the janitor after he falls off the ambulance? I thought we were going to play basketball. Basketball hoop's behind us.
I'm with you, dude. I think that the director was assuming that the audience doesn't know the geography of our parking lot.
Well, this was written by Rich Estes. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know. Who's it written by? Let me look. This was written by, I don't know who Rich Eustace is. He wasn't a regular staff writer. I'm not sure what the story with Rich Eustace is.
And then who directed it?
Maybe Gail Mancuso directed it.
Oh, Gail.
You love Gail.
We do love Gail.
Love Gail.
Gail has won many an Emmy, I think, for directing Modern Family.
Yeah, she does.
That is correct.
She does it right.
She's great.
Yeah.
I once texted Gail to have her direct Alex, Inc., and she didn't reply to me. Now, I don't know if I had the wrong cell phone this many years later, but I, to this day, am harboring. I'm sure you have a listener in your life, someone that never replied, and you're like, do I have a wrong number or did they ghost me? And
I feel that way.
And I'm like, no, Gail loved me. It's not like we have beef or anything. Why would she ignore me?
Oh, I have a bunch of people that I'm like that with, man. It's ridiculous where it's like I text them and then they never text me back.
Like, yeah.
It's weird though, man. But
do you have people in your phone? Like, let's say someone hits you up, right? And they're not in your, it's not me, it's not someone in your close circle. It's like a outer ring friend, and you're not dissing them. Yeah, you'll get back to them. They're cool, but you're not going to do it right now because you're in the middle of something. And then you forget.
Yeah, all the time.
Of course. So sometimes, because of my neuroses, I'll go back and go, oh, fuck, I never replied to so-and-so.
It just happens too often with me. You know,
well, you're a stoner, too, so it must happen more because of the amount of ganja. All right, now, I laughed hard at my character getting attacked for hitting on a woman in the elevator. Now, I think she overreacted a bit.
Just a little bit, because that's assault. That was assault.
Yeah, she assaulted me.
Because all you said,
I used a bad pickup line and she beats the shit out of me.
And she beats you. That's assault.
But it's hilarious. And I'm sure there's a lot of women out there who watch that being like, yeah, that's what you want to do sometimes when a guy's hitting on you in an elevator.
That's what you get. Okay. Carla ripping the condom open with her teeth kind of gave me movement. I don't know why.
Really?
But there was a bit of a shift.
You felt a jiggle.
There was a little bit of a...
Yeah. Although you probably don't have a light jiggle. Like, I feel like when you have movement, it's like what, you know, like when they make the sound effect of a giant boat moving, it's like,
you honor me. Yeah.
You know, when they do like the underwater shot of like the aircraft carrier turning and they're like, we got to turn. And they cut underwater and then you hear the boat like a big creaky turn. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I feel like it sounds like when your penis shifts. All right, Carla.
And received.
Carla going on a date was just, I had trouble with that. Who would ever do that? It felt so duplicitous, and the fact that she made JD hold the secret.
That's where I had a problem. I didn't have a problem with her going on the date because that can happen. That could happen. But the fact that JD was there when it happened and she said yes. And then she was like, yo, if you tell on me, these beads mean nothing. That was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all know how this works, but it's bros before hoes, B. That's real talk, B. Real, real fucking talk. I don't give a fuck what you say.
Casey said to me, I'm going to go on a date before Donald
get
and I.
Get the fuck out of here if you don't tell me, dog. That's a wrap, B.
You think
you and
I
me
would...
really aren't friends. You might as well fuck Casey, dude. You might as well fuck Casey. If
no,
she
it's
says,
not,
yo,
it's not
I'm
not
going
to
Dr. Ravine.
Yeah, it is that bad, dude.
No,
if Casey said
not
to you,
that bad.
Let's put it this way.
If Casey wanted.
Hold on. Let me finish. We hanging out, right? You and my wife are friends. And I'm like, I'm not threatened by this situation. You guys are best friends. It doesn't. I encourage this because of my relationship with you, Zach. You two hang out. Right. So you two are hanging out. You go out one night, and she runs into, I don't know, let's say Brad Pitt. That's somebody she talks about a lot. And Brad Pitt says to her, "Oh my God, I was a huge fan of the Newlyweds. You used to make me laugh all the time." And Casey was like, oh my God, I'm a fan of your stuff. And they're just having a cute little meet cute.
Right.
And then at the end of it, Brad goes, I would love to pick this up some other time, Case.
Poor Casey. What a horrible position.
What's your number? I'll give you a call. Maybe we can go out some other time. And she's like, blah, blah, blah. 1-555-555-555-555. And gives him the number.
Just keep dialing 5.
And you didn't tell me?
Of course I would tell you.
And no, I'm talking about the show.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell me? You might as well fuck Casey. You might as well.
I don't agree that.
You might as well fuck.
I don't agree that those two are equal. Me not telling you she wanted a date with Brad
Pitt. If she goes on a date with Brad
Pitt,
she's gonna leave me for Brad Pitt, dude. She's gonna be like, bye Rocco, bye Wilder, bye Donald. It's Brad all day.
Well, it'd be a mistake for her, wouldn't it? Because
Brad Pitt's a horrible example. We might have to cut this.
No, Brad Pitt's the perfect example. Brad Pitt's the perfect example because every woman who's straight listening is like, yeah, I get it. That would be a conundrum. And every guy who's gay listening is like, yeah, I get it. That would be a conundrum. And every guy whose Kinsey scale allows right now is thinking like, yeah, I get it. That might be a problem. You know what I'm saying? Joelle, yell preach.
Yes, absolutely. It's Brad Pitt. If Brad Pitt is like, yo, you hang out, you got to look at your partner and be like, yo, baby, pass?
No.
Like, I'll try to, you know, one of Brad's friends.
I don't believe in that.
Like, let's make it work.
Hall, I don't believe in that. I think that's just a game couples play. I don't think
this. This show is all about, this episode is all about that, though, man. A hall pass Dude, if the fact that JD didn't tell Turk is some bullshit right there, man.
I agree with you. I was
that
mad
doesn't
at the
make
character.
Any sense whatsoever.
I didn't write it, Donald. The writers needed to find some drama, so they created the drama.
But that's made up drama, man. Come on, man. That's a made up.
I agree. Is the guest here, Daniel? Let's invite this person in and make their day. Let's cheer them up or tickle them with our words.
Oh! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, wearing his fake doctor's real friend's onesie, give it up for Jimmy Cackley!
Jimmy, welcome to the program. You're our very first guest to be wearing the onesie live on the show. I encourage all future guests, if you have a onesie, to wear it as a guest.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Before we get any further, isn't it cozy?
It's so cozy. Very cozy. can I say real quick, I'm using my brother-in-law's computer. My name's actually Cam. Call me Jimmy, but I go by Cam.
Okay,
Cam. No, why are you being so confusing? Why
Cam?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I thought I could change it.
Cam, you can. You know, if you go in your window, see, if you go up to the upper right-hand corner of those three dots, and you click on it, and then it says rename
you.
Oh, sorry. Daniel's going to do it for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for... Actually, Cam Cackley.
I mean, I really just couldn't go through life knowing that I didn't get Donald's Oprah intro to someone else's name.
Yes.
I would have been.
Listen, man.
By the way, when you play the show back for your brother, it's your brother?
Brother-in-law, yeah.
Your brother-in-law. He's going to be happy that he got an Oprah.
I know.
So your last name ain't even Cackley, is it?
It's not. It's Salibi.
All right, but listen, let's focus on killing
me, Cam. Killing me, Cam.
Donald, let's
focus on... Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Cam Salibi!
Donald, I want to say that the onesie looks really good on Cam.
It does.
It is very comfortable, very cozy.
Now, Cam, do you like the fact that it has pockets? Because sometimes you get a onesie and there's nowhere to put your phone or your stuff. You can put anything you want in there.
Yeah, not only the pockets, but I like where they're placed too. You know, not even like to the side. They're like perfect, like a hoodie pockets, you know, which I appreciate a good hoodie pocket.
I have only one complaint about our onesie.
Okay.
No poop flap.
No poop flap, yeah. Next incarnation, we need to add a poop flap. It's going to cost more money, though.
Yeah, that may cost more money.
You do have to go all the way off if you want to, you know.
Yeah. I just think a poop flap's funny, even if you don't use the poop flap. I just think I laugh every time I see a poop flap. Cam, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
South Carolina.
And do you have a question for any of us today to be on the show?
I do. I have a question for all of you, actually.
Go ahead, Cam.
Not really scrub specific. And I just got to say, so I give credit where credit is due. I kind of got this question from another podcast I listen to. It's called The Watch. Through the Ringer Network. Well, shout out Shay Serrano. The Watch is two guys. They had Jason Mantzoukas on, and they were talking a lot about this past year. And the question was, do you feel the way you consume content or what content you want to consume has changed over the past 10 months? Do your personal taste or what you find funny, has that changed over the past year as well? Obviously with the pandemic, things like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think my taste in what's I find funny has changed. And I think a lot of it has to do with how the culture has shifted, you know, what is considered bullying and not necessarily what's considered punching down now used to be considered very funny. And it's not anymore. And so, yeah, I think I'm way more conscious of when listening to jokes, and this is and this is something that I'm not necessarily happy about or sad about. It's just that I'm very aware of this now, that when I listen to jokes, I'm also when I'm consuming content, I should say, I'm also checking to see if it offends anyone. Because if it does, then I'm not necessary. Like, once I feel like something offends somebody, then I have a problem with it in a lot of ways. And I don't know, and I think it has a lot to do with, you know, just the climate that we're in right now. I don't want anyone to necessarily be offended by me, like, in ways that I've been offended by people. You know what I mean? So if if I ever make somebody feel like I have felt, then I got a problem with that. And I think this year, more than anything, because of the climate, we are experiencing that more. I think whether it's, okay, well, now that I know that it hurts you, people are using it more, or I know that it hurts you, I'm going to refrain from saying it. And even if it's not honest, at least it's an effort to say, you know what, I see that that hurts you, my bad.
Mm. What about you, Joelle? Do you think your ways of, or the way you view content has changed at all during the pandemic?
No. I mean, I was a film and television critic beforehand. I watched things all the time streaming or on my computer because that's how we get the screeners. I think that there's a possibility I like certain shows a lot more than I would have pre-pandemic. I still would have enjoyed, like, I would have enjoyed Ted Lasso whenever it came out. But my God, was it like vital to just lifting the spirit? It was like came like the darkest point of the pandemic where we were like, there's no cure in sight. I don't know what's happening. And then like a beacon of light, here comes Ted Lasso just to like bowl you over with comedy. And then
did you feel, sorry to digress, that episode two was the best episode? Of
oh, clearly, clearly the best, superior to all the episodes. Okay.
There was something about the way it was directed. Go ahead, Joelle.
And then there's shows like The Queen's Gambit, or even, I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom yet.
Yeah,
but
I love that.
Whoa. Like, again, there's something timely about these things. Even Soul, which I think maybe I would have been more harshly critical of, like, pre-pandemic. In the pandemic, I was just like, this is so... No, again, I like Soul. I might have been more critical in a world where, you know, we probably would have had a similar summer despite the pandemic, right? So tensions are high and there's a lot to consider about Black representation and art. But like, my God, anything that's going to make me feel some kind of joy or light or feels like just remotely better than the previous representation we've had, I'm like, give it a hall pass. Like, I can't critique it too harshly because I just need this level of joy and content in this time. So maybe,
I totally feel what you're talking about.
A little bit has changed. I appreciate certain things a little bit more, but for the most part, no, I'm watching and consuming
when
the
you
same
hear
way
people,
I did before.
But when you hear people say certain things like, you know, the hurtful things in media and in it doesn't affect you more. Like, it affects me way more now because I feel like everybody is well aware. Like, okay, I just saw something recently where a young lady is going crazy over her phone, accusing a young Black kid of stealing her phone, mm-hmm. right? And it really angered me because it was like, wait, hold on now. You know what's going on. There's a better way to do this, dude. What you're doing right now isn't the right way. There's a better way to handle all of this. You know what climate this is, what's going on right now. And you're not even paying, you don't give a fuck. And that pisses me off. You know what I mean? When I see shit like that.
Well, I think that's not really media. That's something somebody like captured, right? Like that's not scripted.
But it's turned into media though. You know what I mean? It's now turned into something to invoke.
That is a much broader conversation, which I don't 1,000% disagree with you, but it's a much broader conversation than what I think we could tackle here. I think I've always been sensitive to that stuff. Like, I mean, if you're going to come yelling at children who are just being kids, like, I've always found that
what the
fuck?
Right,
extra.
Right. I don't get it.
Yeah. What about you, Daniel?
I think, you know, inherently one thing that has affected my media watching is just the climate of the world from a health standpoint. Every movie or thing that I watch from the past, I just look at and be like, can you believe all those people are so close together? Can you believe that we were just so accepting of like this or that or the other thing?
Right.
Like, you know, one thing I saw recently, someone on Twitter was saying, can you believe that we all just like went bowling? Like sticking your fingers into the bowling ball that someone else, you have no idea that we all just did that and then ate our chicken fingers and right after bowling that ball. So I think, you know, anytime I watch something from a year ago and beyond, there's that, and that's definitely going on in the back of my head. And going forward, I will definitely be considering that and the safety of everybody around in production.
Do you think movies should be, conscious of that? Do you think movies should go back to the way they were before compared to what's going on now? Like, should movies tackle the fact that Corona happened and sanitizing your hand and washing your hands? And you know what I mean? Because when you go and watch a movie and somebody does that, the whole audience is going to be like, oh my God, so fucking gross.
No, I know. It's a question because I'm hoping to shoot my film this coming summer. And I don't plan to address COVID at all because I imagine it will come out a year from the summer and with God willing, universe willing,
right,
COVID will be tackled. And I don't want my film to be like, oh, it's a COVID movie. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. You think of like, you know, you think of shooting something. I agree. Everything I watch now, I'm like, oh my God, we were watching the show called Somebody Feed Phil. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a really yeah. funny food show. And he's like literally sharing a fork with a stranger. And we just like in the room gasped. We were like, oh my God.
Really quickly on that very point, I think sometimes the best movies exist in a world where like the situation of the world isn't the focus. It just happens to exist in that world. I think like, you know, you think about kind of Cloverfield, the monster movie Cloverfield, tried to mm-hmm. do a good job of telling a story in a world where a monster movie is happening rather than making the movie about the monster. Maybe not the best example, but I think as we see movies going forward, there will be movies that exist in the time of COVID. But if there are movies that are about COVID, it's just going to be contrived and boring and lame. But seeing a movie that exists in this world that's about something else, I'm interested to see how that's tackled because that was a part of life. And so how they decide to tackle that in film and media, I'm interested. So
they made a comment in that other podcast about how they were watching old episodes of Magnum PI and the guy was like, Jason was like, everyone in that show is dealing with Vietnam, you know, years and years later. And his thought was like, you're going to have like a character dealing with the pandemic, like what was going on in their life during the pandemic. I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting thought to but I agree, Zach, you're not going to make a COVID film necessarily.
Well, somebody will.
Somebody will.
But I think that also they'll do both things. Somebody will make a film about plenty of movies about COVID, but then like in your Magnum PI analogy, there'll be art of all types, whether it's a PI show or a little dark indie where COVID is a character, just the trauma, the emotional trauma of what's happened to the earth for what will be 2 years or more, I think is going to be something a lot of artists make art about.
100%.
Mm-hmm. All right, Cam, what's your next question for the group?
Well, that was actually my other question was, do you see art changing? All of y'all are in different types of obviously art. And I know there's obviously the low hanging fruit, like I assume like, you know, dance floors for DJs are not going to be completely filled maybe, but do you see it changing coming out of this on the other side because of two and a half years of being in it?
I never really thought about that.
I think eventually people will go back to nightclubs and people will go back to theaters. I don't think any of that's dying that quick a death. People love to dance. People love to go see movies together. People like me are obsessed with live theater.
Wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. Zach, you feel like the movie theater is going to make a comeback again?
I think the movie theater as an experience for blockbusters is going to outlive us.
Okay.
I do think that the idea, even I who love movies, when I see the trailer, I go, I'll wait till it to be on my big screen TV because I don't, it's not a film that for me, I want the theatrical experience. But then 1917 came out. I actually watched the screener because I had the award screener for it. And I went, holy shit, I have done this film a disservice. I want to go see it on a big ass screen. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll always be, at least for our lifetime, an experience that someone can go have and go see a movie on a big screen. I think that the business they'll do for smaller films that aren't about spectacle will dwindle.
Yeah, it's just I have a hard time thinking that people will go back to theaters, and I hope they do go back to theaters. I don't want to jinx this, but it's just that's one of the dirtiest places you can go as far as hygiene goes. You go to the bed, like when you sit down and the armrest next to you.
Well, COVID will be tackled. I mean, how long is the question? But it will be conquered.
Okay. Well, it needs to be. Listen, and I hate to get political. I don't want to get political about this because I don't think this is a political statement. But 100 million vaccines shipped to the U.S. How many people have been inoculated?
How many people have received a COVID vaccine? A million people.
Okay, so 1 million out of 100 million.
out of 300 million. I see where you're going, though, because the thing is, what I did read earlier today is that, like, at the current rate that we're giving out the vaccine, we're not going to give out the vaccine in total for 10 years. If we
That's
wanted
what I'm trying to
be
tell
given
you, man.
Right.
I know, but okay. But in defense of human beings and global logistics, I think that it will be begin the if you looked at the graph, it's going to start picking. I mean, not to be political, but of course, I have a feeling when Biden takes over, there might be a few smarter people in the room to kick up the distribution. But even if it wasn't, even if everyone in this current administration were well-intentioned and doing their best at 100%, it's still a pretty massive undertaking to give the COVID vaccine to 300 million people.
Yeah, it's going to be an enormous undertaking. Also, just to correct, because people will undoubtedly come at us, it's 2.1 million people as of the recording. 2.1 million people in the U.S. Yeah. have received their COVID
and
vaccine.
We've gotten out. So let's make sure we're clear on that. If you, like I said, I don't want to offend anybody by my numbers. These are the things. Before, I would just be like, fuck it. It's such and such and such and such. I don't give a fuck about facts. Right. But nowadays, it's very important. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
To Zach's point, like, you're going to want to see a horror film in a theater again. Like, it's not the same. It's not the same watching a horror movie at home by yourself. You're like, oh, it's kind of scary. But when you hear 300 people gasp in a movie theater, there's nothing is replacing that presence. How will that be packaged, delivered, and sold to us is going to change drastically. My guess is we're going to see a spike in low like the dollar theaters and things like that are cheap and running very old movies and things like that. And then we'll see, obviously, a hike in the very expensive. You can get booze and food items and things delivered, and there's smells in the air, whatever they can do to sensationalize and get more money, because theaters are going to have to adjust post-pandemic. But they will adjust. They'll still have audiences.
All right, here's a great example. Joelle, if you went to the movie theaters to see Wonder Woman 1985, would you be pissed? Whatever it was. When you walked out, wouldn't you be pissed off?
Mm.
No, I went to see. I understand that sometimes movies are going to be bad. I'm a movie theater goer. Again, I don't know. I'm probably a biased person. I'm a film critic, so I rarely have to pay for a movie. But even when I do, I'm like, I go in for the experience of like, I came to see a movie. And Wonder Woman, to Zach's earlier point, gives you so much to talk about. You could critique that movie 7,000 different ways. So many things to discuss.
It ain't Cats, though, man. It ain't as bad as, like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
it's not bad.
The thing that's killed.
It's better, right? That's what I'm trying to say. It's better than Cats.
Kristen Wiig was a cat. I was expecting her to be like, because jellicles can angelicles do.
Sylvester, he is a curious beast.
James Corden comes falling down, you know, whatever. It's cool.
The person who put Kristen Wiig in a movie and did not allow her one opportunity to be funny needs a hand slap.
Yes.
All right, Cam, how can we? It's time for everyone's favorite segment in South Carolina, especially. It's time to
fix your life.
Cam, we're here for you. How can we help you? We are professional therapists.
You're talking to three professional therapists and Donald.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I value your judgment, Donald, for good or bad. So
if it's about weed or Star Wars, we have an
I got you.
Well, I don't want to be on too long. So I hate to go down the rabbit hole of always asking the love questions, but and as my sister sits next to me,
it's our specialty.
I'm sure she's gonna roll her eyes. But
is your sister next to you?
Yeah, she's right here.
Oh, hi, sister.
What's up, sister?
That's my sister, Caroline.
Caroline.
So I'm 37. I'm the middle child. My sister is younger. I have an older brother as well. They are both married and have not one, but two kids. The second one is on the way for both of them. So I'm the lone single sibling left in the family. And not that there's a lot of pressure from the parents or from other family members, but some. And I guess my roundabout question is, I don't know if some of them feel like I'm too picky sometimes with finding a girl. And then
it's
I guess
the rest
of
your life, dude.
Yeah, man. So I know, and I say that because I, you know, there's this idea of like, when you know, and everybody has their story, right? That whatever it may be, I feel like when people get married or when they get together, they're like, you know, it never would have happened because of this and this. And I feel like I've had those moments, but then it hasn't panned out. So I'm like, is that a real moment? Was I fooling myself? Was I not? You know? And so I guess that's the idea a little bit, if that's a question at all. you know, I guess that when you know is a true statement, maybe, but I just, am I too picky? You know, like,
no, I don't think there's such thing as too picky, but you got to realize that it, you know, it's a two-way street. So where you're picky and your cup of tea might present itself, you might not necessarily be that person's cup of tea. So,
but also, can I say something? We all are subscribing to this societal construct that there's something wrong with you if you're your age and you haven't found your person yet. And I think step one is you have to just let that bullshit go.
Yeah.
It's because of kids, though, man. It's because of kids.
Okay.
And that's
the
only reason, though.
Because
when you get older, it's maybe a little bit more difficult to have kids, and that's the only reason why,
listen,
buddy.
Let me just say my thoughts. Just as you were programmed, I'm sure, that this was the right religion for our family, and this is what we believe, and look, there's a book that says it all, and these are the rules, and XYZ happens if you're good, and ABC happens if you're bad. You were also programmed that by age 30, you better be married and be thinking about having kids, and you better stay with that person for the rest of your life. And I just think a good starting point for the conversation is, just as, I don't know if you're religious or not, but just as Donald and I, for example, are secular and chose not to subscribe to that aspect of what we were fed, you can also say, guess what? What if my path is that I continue leading the life that I have with enjoyment, I continue dating, and holy shit, what if I find true love at 45? What if I have a kid? By the way, I have a good friend who started having kids at 50. I've never seen the guy happier in his whole existence. You know, Gary, Donald. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's coming for you. Now, we can give you strategies for some ideas on how to up your chances of meeting the person. But I think the first step would be letting go of, like, I'm in the wrong because of what society tells me I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And coming from the South, I feel like it was like, all right, you graduated from high school. You go to college for 4 years. You graduate from college. You get the job. You get the white picket fence. And yeah, by 30, that's all in line. And I'm way past that. And it's been I understand, Zach, and it's a tough thing to let go of. But in the back of my mind, it like, you know, gnaws at you a little bit every time.
Well, what's happening is that every day you're telling yourself there's something wrong with you. Mm.
And also, that white picket fence fairy tale is of the past, man. That shit
doesn't
exist.
Yeah, who the fuck wants a white picket fence?
Nobody wants that shit no more.
Not me.
Right.
No, I mean literally and figuratively. Who the fuck wants that?
No,
I think they're ugly. I actually have a old weathered one. They're beautiful weathered. I just don't like them painted white. Now, that's my speech on that. That's just my two cents, because I obviously it's coming from a place that I've thought a lot about, because I'm 45. I have a girlfriend I'm in love with, but I'm 45 and haven't done any of the white picket fence of it all. And when I do hear the chattering in my ear, you have done one thing that
what? Is very, and I think you
I
know what
home.
It is.
I have a home and a dog.
You've put together quite a career, and that's part of the white picket fence fairy tale. And I think, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think that is part of the reason why so many people nowadays are having a hard time finding the person that they're looking for. Or the person that they think is out there for them, their perfect person. You have to focus on yourself.
Yeah.
If you're unhappy, listen, I've been in that relationship where it was like, let's make this work because maybe we can be happy if we make. No, man, you have to be happy first to be able to make someone else happy. You can't be a miserable person and then expect to find happiness in someone else. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. Regardless of what the movie says and everything like that, that's not how it goes.
Yeah, who you're
you
being,
have to be confident in yourself.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah,
and then
I do
those
believe,
things happen.
I agree
and I
with
think
that.
You're already there. And so I don't think the problem is whether you want to, you know, why me? Why hasn't it happened for me yet? I don't think you're ready for it yet. I think if you wanted it, you could go get that shit. Anybody can
well,
go get that
well,
shit
I think
if they
what he's
it.
Saying, Donald, yeah. is I'm sure Cam, especially in that onesie, could go on dates and meet chicks to hook up with. But
the onesie and the mustache make you look fire.
Listen, Cam, I'm sure what Cam
or the cops get called.
What I think was happening is that Cam
not with my face on your body.
Cam, if you want these things, I'm sure you're dating. Oh, not in COVID, but pre-COVID, I'm sure you were dating, right?
Yes.
And are you on any of the apps?
It's a love-hate relationship. So some months, yes. Some months, no.
Feel that.
Yeah. I can tell you that that of course you got to be on the field. You know, you can't be in the stands. You got to be playing the game, right?
Right. Of course.
Because if you're not, I mean, nowadays, you know, people don't want to go lean on a bar and yell to a stranger, "I like your skirt." You can actually have a chance to kind of get to know someone a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Just sitting there giggling at me. Did you fucking hit that weed during our break? Earlier. Did you hit the weed?
No, man. I went.
I don't know about you about fucking hitting the blunt during break.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. There will never be a time ever when we're making this podcast where while we're making it, I'm smoking weed. Unless we all agree that we're smoking weed during the podcast.
By the way, let's commit.
I'm about to clip that.
Let's commit.
Hold on.
That chose the wrong time to get on.
No, listen. We should move. Once we're all injected and we're safe, I think we should do an episode where we get together in the same room and get high as balls and do the show.
Yes, please.
Okay. That's fine with me. Okay. It won't be any different for me. It'll just be different for y'all.
Okay. All right. Sorry. But back to Cam.
Can it be in Donald's closet?
We can hot box this motherfucker. My wife might be mad, but we can hot box this motherfucker.
Well, maybe because the kids will be back at school. Cam, one thing I just want to say is that you have to know that it takes work to sustain a relationship. It's not just like... I think one thing negative that's come out of the apps is that everyone's just like pulling the roulette wheel. I think everyone's pulling the one-armed bandit. What do you call that thing? Slot machine?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, okay. Oh, cool. She's cool. Yeah, we had a good date. Oh, I'm liking her. Oh, she smokes. Drink next. She was kind of obnoxious to, my point is people are pulling the slot machine so quickly, being like, thank you, next, as Ariana Grande said.
Ooh, very good.
And whereas if you are in pursuit of a committed relationship, it does take patience and giving something time to brew.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that on some dates, so I understand what you're saying. Exactly.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There may be girls you went on a date with and one thing negative happened and you're like, fuck this. And that girl could have been fucking amazing. She might have had a bad night. Yeah. Right, Donald? Donald, you don't remember what it's like to date.
I was just thinking about that. Or you might have had a bad night and you might want that second chance. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. The first impression shit is it's you always hear the story of, well, the first impression was horrible, but the second impression, that's when I knew I liked the person. With these app things now, you're right. It is swipe. I don't know, but I imagine that it would be with my kids at least. Swipe, 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 such and such. And it's like everybody's reading attributes. Nope, next. And when did
Thank
you ever
you,
have that?
Next.
When
Thank
did you,
you
ever?
Next.
When did you
I'm
ever
so
have
fucking
that?
Grateful for my ex. Sorry.
Right, but when did you ever have that that capability? You had to get to know somebody before all of that. And sometimes when you got to know somebody, you were able to dismiss some of the attributes
of
that
course.
You're reading. You know what I mean? And so that's the one thing that's a little bit crazy about the state of dating nowadays, this computer age, this app age. It just seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect because you're doing it through the wires of the computer. You're getting to know
I know,
each other
but I do
way.
Think I it's I'm very pro. I think, you know, Daniel is one person. I have another friend.
I know a lot of people that
I've seen
apps.
People really find true love through it. So
I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying there's steps that are, you know what I mean? Whereas you had to make an effort just to see each other and talk to each other before. It's typing it on the phone. You
try
know what
match.
I mean?
Try Match, Cam, because that seems to be the one I keep hearing works for people. And, you know, Tinder, you know, I think it's just for people looking to hook up, you know, and I don't really know about the other ones because I've never been on them. But
you've never been on Bumble?
I've never been on any of that shit. Cam, I recommend Match because I feel like that one, I seem to have a lot of people, they should advertise with this because I've heard a lot of people have success with that one.
Fair enough.
But anyway, Cam, the point is you got to put in the time and don't just, especially now during the pandemic, there's no reason you can't be like laying foundation and flirting and getting yourself out there.
Yeah. I think that putting in time is a good way.
I recommend an OnlyFans page, Cam.
Yeah. Also, don't be afraid to start
just in the onesie. In the onesie. Only onesie photos.
Donald, do you realize that every guest that comes on, you recommend they get an OnlyFans account?
Well, I think that's
you're turning our guests into.
Only if you're my Donald. Only if you're my first subscriber. My first subscriber. Only if it's Donald.
Only if it's free.
I don't think you can watch OnlyFans for free.
Yeah, you can.
But. Oh, you can?
They're free.
I've done my research about this. About OnlyFans.
No, I looked when What's Her Name got it and one made all that money. I was curious. I was like, what is
Did
this?
Did you subscribe?
No, I wasn't going to give her money, but I
that was the thing.
Did you subscribe to OnlyFans? She was the first person. What's her name? What's that girl's
Bella
name?
Bella Thorne
was the first person that made me go, what the fuck is this? And I looked it up, but I didn't
Did you subscribe to OnlyFans,
no.
though?
No.
Right. I haven't subscribed to OnlyFans. Like, I have not even, like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, man. There are a bunch of people in, I just spit on my camera. Look at that shit.
That's fine. Didn't see that.
There are a bunch of people in on Instagram mm-hmm. that have OnlyFans, and male and female. And I'm like, why would you get an OnlyFans? I don't understand. You know what I mean? And then I heard about the money you can make.
Why?
And it's like, wait a second. You could make some money on OnlyFans.
Yeah, people want to see naughty shit. I mean, that's
they don't necessarily have to do naughty.
You don't have to like beat off, but you have to like show something.
I got to show junk.
I think Joelle,
no.
Joelle, what are people paying for if they're not seeing?
Well, see,
naughty
here's
bits?
The problem. Here's the problem is that people. Like celebrities are like, oh, I'm doing an OnlyFans, and everyone's like, oh, naughty bits, dope. I will pay $100 for that photo. And then they get the photo, and you could have seen that on Instagram, and you're like, what the hell did I just spend $100 for? So you can go on there and post whatever you want, but customer satisfaction varies.
Right, but you haven't answered my question, Joelle, which is, what am I seeing on OnlyFans as a satisfied customer that doesn't mm-hmm. involve nudity?
Nothing.
No,
I mean, it wasn't intentionally designed for this. Originally supposed to be for like artists and stuff. But the sex workers came and made it.
No matter what anyone invents, they're like, okay, now how can we use it for sex?
It's just like Patreon, and Patreon also has this as well. There are people who sell, you know, sex work on Patreon. It's just mm-hmm. OnlyFans became something that seemed more for that.
Yeah,
but yeah. Even so, their platforms are almost identical.
I feel like you know. What is it? Two birds with one stone?
Yeah.
OnlyFans, sure. You're meeting people, meeting new people.
No, I don't think you should go on OnlyFans.
And two, you're making money. So let's just get down to it.
Don't take his advice.
It's the American way.
Oh, God.
All right. On that note, Cam, you are welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we hope that you'll, when you finally meet someone that you have some stronger feelings for than just a hookup, I hope you'll let us know and check in.
Definitely.
And I do think that you should use this opportunity, this moment that you were on the podcast wearing our faces on you as a means of hooking up with your new lady.
If there's like any girl out there that you want to talk to right now,
yeah.
If you, I don't mind putting the pressure on you, Cam.
No,
I'll do what your sister brother. No, you don't want to.
That's okay.
Call out anyone's specific name in South Carolina.
We call out people all the time.
You know who you are, girl.
This will just be a good story for a date, right?
Like, right.
Hey, this is a great story. Yeah.
By the way, this is how you end the story. You go and then after they gave me that advice, all I could think about was you.
Oh
wow,
man! You just ruined it.
Mic drop, Daniel. Please add the sound of a mic drop.
That can't work now.
Why?
Because you just used it, man.
Mrs. Cam doesn't fucking listen to this podcast.
If they're gonna work out, she probably does, man. They probably have that in common. The podcast is what's gonna bring them together.
She listens to The Office.
We
podcast.
Fixed Cam's. No, man, she listens to the Scrubs podcast.
All right, we got to go because I have to pee, and we've really done the show. Cam, you can stay for the end because we pretty much did the show. It's a weird one, but we laughed.
I appreciate it. Real quick, I appreciate y'all. Joelle mentioned Ted Lasso earlier, but this podcast definitely came along at the right time for me, obviously right when the pandemic started, and for my mental health has been a blessing every week. I thought a lot about Jimmy V and what he said in one of his speeches on ESPN about you should laugh, think, and have your emotions move to tears every day. And that's a full day. And this podcast definitely does those three things for me every time I listen. So I appreciate all of y'all.
Listen, there is no better compliment, Cam. And if you're out there and we are making you laugh, and I can't tell you, there's no thing that makes Donald and I'm sure Joelle and Daniel, but I can definitely speak for Donald and I. Nothing makes us happier than hearing somebody say that. So thank
absolutely,
you.
It's also just for selfish purposes. You're right, Cam. Like just for us to be able to get together once, twice a week. And talk to each other, you know, in this time. I don't see a lot of people. And I was starting to hang out with Zach again. And then, you know, we got locked down and stuff like that. So I definitely appreciate what you're talking about, Cam. I totally feel you, man.
Cool. Thanks, man.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back with more soon.
Wait. So, but before we go, last week we didn't 5, 6, 7, 8 and people got pissed, I think.
Okay. I think we did. But I trust
we did
you.
Not.
We did.
All right. So, that's Donald, okay. Do you want me to do it? Because it's been a while since I did it.
Get your mouth ready.
Let me warm up. Bibbidi okay. Bibbidi bye bo boo. Bibbidi bibbidi bye bo boo. The lips, the tip of the teeth, and the tongue. The lips, the tip of the teeth, and the tongue. Whether it be cold or whether it be hot, we'll be together whenever. Whether we like it or not.
Like it or not.
Do you sit in solemn sons? All right, ready.
Ma, 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 ma.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor.